This next episode of Rockstar 101 happened because, well, quite frankly, Shim and I got sidetracked. We intended to talk about a lot of the things that we had teased, a story about Corey Taylor and his son that Shim had from backstage, a correction to the M&Ms conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago. But as we had paused in between recordings, Shim and I started to talk and, well, he wanted to make sure what we were talking about ended up on an episode of Rockstar 101. Unfortunately, I had stopped recording. He had not. So we had to kind of reset everything. So here's a special episode of Rockstar 101. And of course, if you'd like to reach out to us, you can find us on social media. Find Shim over on Twitter at Shim Moore, S-H-I-M-M-O-O-R-E. Or find me over on Instagram. It's Brandon_goat_coats. That's spelled C-O-A-T-E-S.
Welcome to the new episode of Rockstar 101. His name is Brandon. He's the DJ.
His name is Shim. He's the rock star. Class is in session. Apparently, I should have been recording.
And we were just discussing. Yeah, we were just discussing, and I thought we were recording. And Brandon says, you know, I've hung out with a lot of white supremacists. What?
Okay.
Fucking, when have you hung out with them? It started off with the point of him saying how much he fucking hates white supremacists. He has a very, don't get me wrong, I got a bad vibe on him too, but he's like, he was talking real passionately and I was like, oh, this is the podcast. Find out he's not recording. Brandon, go.
So as I was explaining to Shim, as I, you know, we were before I was actually recording all of this stuff, I was talking to him about this Netflix documentary that I'd watched called Alt-Right Age of Rage. And it was following some Antifa people and then also some alt-right people. And I was telling Shim just the amount of rage that I get when it comes to white supremacists and these pieces of shit that are out there. Like, I'm a pretty angry dude in general, but
you a pretty angry dude? You don't strike me. That was the thing. That was why I was. You don't strike me as an angry dude. You strike me as an assertive, outspoken dude. But what do you get angry at?
I think it kind of depends, you know, because I mean, it can flash here and there. I mean, trust me, if you ask the people I work with, they'll be like, oh, yeah, he seems angry. But of course, for me, it's like, no, I'm just asking. You need to do your job. But that's something completely different. But, you know, I can accept it. But I like.
Right. You got the frown eyebrows a lot. You do have that frown eyebrow thing going on where you look serious all the time.
I've got resting bitch face. Yeah. Like, that happens.
That's right. I forgot that's what you call it. Anyway, white supremacy. So you were talking about how you have been around a lot of white supremacists. I have not. So I'm fucking curious.
So, and as I was telling Shim, I've had the very displeasure of being around these pieces of human garbage because being a bald white guy, I think people just assumed that you're down with them.
and so that's funny. Okay, keep going.
There were a few different parties that I ended up at. I'm not really sure how I got there, but like I could tell, like, okay, I don't like this vibe, and I got the fuck out. There was one dude's house, me and one of my best friends, one of our other friends took us over to this guy's house. We walk in the door, and it's just a gigantic Nazi flag hanging over the fucking fireplace.
Whoa!
The second we walked in there, I pulled my buddy aside, and I go, we're getting the fuck out of here. Like, I do not want to be around this guy. And so we hung, like, we were there for maybe 2 to 3 minutes. We faked a phone call, and we got the fuck out. Unfortunately for my friend, he ended up back over there at another time, and the guy that lived there that had this fucking Nazi flag hanging over the fireplace, they apparently got into an argument because my friend did not share his views on white supremacy. And so they were getting fucking snippy with each other. And the Nazi pulled a gun on my friend and pulled the trigger.
Jesus.
And the only reason my friend was not shot was because the gun jammed.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So
holy shit.
It's just, yeah, and it's just one of those really weird fucking things. I did have a friend of mine who he had mental issues. Like, rest in peace. He's since passed away. But he had very serious mental problems. We believe he was bipolar. He was on a lot of different medications. And unfortunately for him, when he'd kind of gotten right out of high school, he got roped into that whole white supremacy thing. And then I met him as he was out, like he wasn't hanging out with these dudes anymore. And I kind of took it as a personal test to me to put him on the right path, to make sure that he doesn't get back involved with that stuff, to make sure he avoids these pieces of human garbage. And like, I remember one time I went over to his apartment and he was having a bad day. He wasn't on his meds. He was drinking a lot, and he's sitting there watching old, World War II footage of Nazi shit. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, this ain't cool. And I had to talk him down, and we spent many hours talking about, why this stuff is wrong. And like, yeah, I get that if you felt lost when you were leaving high school, and maybe you felt like you were secluded, maybe you didn't feel like you belonged, it's very easy to get sucked into this shit. Because if you're just a random white guy with low self-esteem, that's what they feed on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
White supremacists feed on low self-esteem and people who feel isolated, because they will include you. They will make you feel like you belong. Yeah. And they will also make you feel like it's these other races are the reason why you feel like you don't belong. Yeah. Or these other races and are the cause of all of your problems. That's what they do. That's what they feed on. And I'm trying to talk him through all this stuff. Unfortunately, it was he and I kind of separated from contact for like a month to a month and a half or so. Texting here and there, just kind of checking in to make sure everything was okay. And ultimately what had happened was he had taken too much of his medication and drank, and he basically killed himself. And it was just, I like how we just left the last episode saying that we're going to keep this one lighter, but
yeah, but here's the thing. Okay, so that's tragic about your friend, and I'm sorry to hear that. But the thing that I was coming back around to before. So you're talking about, you had constructive conversation. What was the guy's name?
His name was Matt.
Okay, you would have constructive conversations with Matt about differing opinions, and he had strong opinions about white supremacy and the Nazi regime and what he believed was right about it, and you would have...
Not really, though. Because one of the reasons why I really wanted to become friends and help this guy out was I could tell that's not what he believes. I could tell deep down in his heart he's a better person.
He was just looking for something to believe in.
Exactly. And this was the kind of the easy way out. Right. And this was the group that made him feel included. And I'm like, well, if I can make him feel included, if I can push him away from this stuff.
Yeah.
All the better. It's one less person who believes this bullshit out there that somehow the white race is a superior race. We're not. I got to tell you, I got a lot of flaws. I'm white and I got a lot of flaws, man. There's no fucking way, dude. And it's silly that anybody would think that. And that was one of the things that I would try to talk to him about. And, we would hang out. We would goof around. We'd play video games and just watch movies and just shoot the shit.
But my question is, here's the thing. When you were going back to that story where you were like, you walked into someone's house and there's a Nazi flag above the fireplace, right?
Oh, fuck that guy.
Now, yeah, but that guy. But no, let me get to my question, right? Here's the thing. I'm sadistic in this way, right? And I was going to say, oh, if it were me at that party, I would have done this. Then you get down to your story where you're like, your friend and this guy got into a disagreement, not even a fight, but a disagreement about how they view things.
Yep.
And this guy pulls a gun on him. So this is a legit white supremacist. This isn't some guy that's like, oh, I read the books and I put up the flag. He's like, he will kill people.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, what I would want in that situation, if I found myself at a white supremacist party, if there was an energy in the room that was telling me, you got to get the hell out of here, I would get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. However, if it was more of, hey, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about white supremacy and we're going to go through the literature and we're going to... There's a part of me that would be fascinated in hearing these guys speak and then having a discussion with them about where they're coming from and why they think this way and getting to understand the personal level of that stuff. And it's just a sick thing that I get into, like really understanding and disagreeing, really strongly disagreeing on points, on things that matter with other people. If you can have it, I've had gun control was one. I had a conversation with a guy for hours one night and we walked away completely disagreeing with each other, but we had a very long discussion about why he felt the way he did and I felt the way I did, and I came to have a much deeper understanding of how some people think. And my first thought was, if I go into someone's house and there's a Nazi flag above, I'm going to be like, I need to know why that flag is there. How did this fucking happen? How did this guy get here? And I would have probably, but my question is, do you think that it's possible to have a responsible and, you know, fully deep dialogue with a white supremacist, or are they just going to fucking pull a gun on you? Like, are all of them going to be like that, or are there some that would actually sit down and have a discussion and say, no, the white race, XYZ, here's why I'm right and you don't understand, and I'd be able to say, well, I disagree because of all my points, and you could actually talk for a few hours? Or is that not how it goes?
Well, I mean, I can only base this on the, you know, the small portion of the white supremacist people that have actually been around, like this one fucking psychopath who pulled a gun on my friend. And like, I would believe that there are probably guys out there that you would be able to sit down and have the conversation with and try to pick their brains. For me personally, I've been around it enough. I don't care to anymore. I mean, I'll watch the documentaries and stuff, and it just, it angers me. It absolutely angers me.
No, it angers.
Watching
it angers me too. Any form of bigotry hits a nerve with me. Really, it's like instinctive. It's like when you touch something hot. It's like I just snap back whenever some form of bigotry towards anything, anyone, any group of people. But I'm always fascinated. Like, here's the thing. It's interesting to me because for me, I was raised in the back of theaters. I grew up and had, I knew lots of gay people, lesbians, gay men, everything in between, right? So for me, it wasn't weird, shocking. And I came to understand a lot about those types of people and basically came to realize there's just really not much difference except for what they choose to do when they're at home at the end of the night. You know, that's, and it's none of my business. And I get really bored talking about gay rights issues because I just think, I'm like, it's just so fucking, why do we have to talk? Why does this need to be a problem? Why can't we be cool? I know enough about the other side of this equation because I grew up with it, where I'm exhausted. I'm like, I don't need to talk about what, you know, like the idea of a white pride parade and why do we don't get a white pride parade? It's fucking funny. It's so funny to me that, like, that this is how people speak. I'm like, just get on with your fucking life. Like, just be cool. Do whatever you want to do. Just don't hurt anybody. Do whatever you want to do. Just don't hurt anybody and get on with it. You know, hopefully eventually get to the point where you can be of service to someone else, which is what you and I both try to do as often as possible in some small formal fashion. But that's why you would probably say, because you've seen enough and you've actually had conversations and you've seen white supremacists in the flesh. I've never met one. I would remember. Never met one in the flesh and had a conversation about that particular way of living. And it would fascinate me to meet someone who is so just got such blinders on to why they feel. And I the only thing that I've seen in some documentaries is people who were part of that. It's really no different than any cult. Anytime you hear about people that get into a cult or Scientology or white supremacists, if and when they get out of it, they look back at themselves and go, I was just lost and I was looking for something and I can't believe half the shit I did and said.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they see it for what it actually is. So to talk to someone who's in the thick of that, it's like it's fascinating to me. But I can understand why you would say, yeah, you've heard enough to know that you don't want to talk about it anymore. I kind of feel the same way about gay rights because I just think that it shouldn't be something we need to talk about. It should be gone.
It shouldn't be a debate.
It should be like it shouldn't be. You shouldn't have to discuss whether or not someone has fucking rights. Just let them be. Like, live. Fuck off. Get the fuck out of my face. Get out of their face.
But unfortunately, in both instances, we do still have to have these debates because there are people who feel the other way that we do, who feel that, oh, well, we don't want to include these people with us because we're better than them. They're lower than us. They're not as good as we are. There's people out there that actually believe that. And they think that by including others and having diversity, it somehow demeans who you are as a person.
It's so weird, man.
And that's the thing that blows my mind the most is if you're truly confident in who you are, you don't need to exclude other people. You don't need to bring down other people. You're confident about you. If you're actually confident, you're willing to bring people up.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with that. And I feel that way the more that I live my life and the more that I achieve things and come to learn what I like and what I don't like, what I'll tolerate and what I won't tolerate, you become a lot more secure with yourself. And luckily, and then what happens is you start to attract those types of people and you start to seek out those types of people and your life gets better and better and better. And anything that isn't that is your life just getting worse. It deteriorates. You wind up hanging out with, it's like you attract like. So if you are confident in yourself, you will attract other confident people somehow. You'll find them, or you'll naturally just not have time for people who are trying to exclude other things and shit like that. If you're looking for a division, if you're looking for other people that are like, you know, white supremacists, whatever your example is, that want to have that level of division and they want to focus on that, you'll find them real quick if you focus on it. It'll just come to you. Like, you just, it's funny how you see these things as you get a few years under your belt of just living your life how you want to live it, that it really does, that these things come to you. You'll be searching for it consciously and unconsciously, and then it will start to come to you because the people who are also looking for like will find you as well as you finding them. And then suddenly that's the life that you're in and that's the life that you're leading. And it can be hard to break out of that cycle. That's why that's the same thing. I'll never forget the Scientology documentary that I watched, and they talked to a few people that have gotten out of it. And they're just baffled at how fucking stupid they were. That they spent $100,000 on literature. Science fiction literature. $100,000. Because someone said, you need to read this and follow the rules. I'm like, and they were like, I just thought it was right. I just didn't know any better. I thought it was right. Mm-hmm. And it's baffling to me. And it really interests me. My favorite thing in the world, my favorite fucking thing in the world to do, other than playing with my kids, is to talk to someone who has a differing opinion, especially if they're a young person. If they're a young person, usually they'll have very strong conviction to their point, but they won't have evidence because they're not old enough and they don't really understand what the fuck they're talking about. Sometimes they do, a lot of times they don't. But they will have that youthful, nah man, I know what I'm doing. I'm coming at you. I'm coming against the world. You know, like, they've got that fucking ferocity because they're young and they haven't had the shit kicked out of them enough times to know that there are other ways to approach things. Mm-hmm. And then you sit down and you talk with them and you actually listen. My favorite thing to do, my favorite fucking thing to do in the world. I did it to a kid last week, a 21-year-old kid from Australia. I bumped into him just while I was out and about. I was doing emails at Starbucks and he was like, he wanted to chat. And he just was like, I think he heard my accent. He was like, oh, you're an Aussie? Suddenly we're talking. And I listened to this kid you listen to someone for an hour and a half, and you let what they say guide your line of questioning. So that you are, number one, you let them know that someone is listening to what they're saying. They're not just waiting for their chance to talk. Then that guides your line of questioning, which leads you to deeper answers about who the person actually is. And then you collect all this information over the course of an hour or an hour and a half. And then you say, so what did you say at the beginning again that you feel strongly about this? And they'll go, yeah, this is what I think. And then you go, well, about half an hour ago, you said something that completely contradicted that about the way that you feel. So you feel this way, but you think that way. Why is that? And then they sort of short circuit and they start to stutter and go, well, I don't know. I never really thought about it that way. And you go, well, there's another thing that you said that kind of makes me think that maybe the reason you're feeling this way and the reason that you think this way are two different things. And really, you just kind of heard a bunch of stuff from your dad. And you actually have said three times, my dad used to always say, but you also said something that contradicts that in the way that you feel and the reason that you're out here doing it. Look at the evidence of where you're at. You came from Australia. You're all the way over here doing this thing because you feel a certain way that contradicts the things that you're saying. You break it all down because you've listened to everything this other person has said. Someone who is hell-bent on their way of thinking and they're too insecure and scared to change will get up and leave the conversation or find a reason to leave. But most of the time, if they're young, they're actually interested in becoming a version of themselves that's better. And once they feel heard, they feel that they're connected. They feel like they're a part of something with someone. And they go, and especially if I'm right, which I usually am because I've listened and I've actually, I'm referring back to them shit that they have said so they can't argue with me because they fucking said it. And then eventually you can actually get a person to change their way of thinking pretty quickly if you actually have listened to what they've said and the way that they've said it and then gone, there's a few little inconsistencies there. I think you might actually be doing something a little different. Maybe what if it means this? What if it means that? And they'll walk away from the conversation going, I fucking didn't think about any of that stuff that way. And now they're thinking about it that way and you can't undo that. Mm-hmm. You can't unplant that seed. That's my favorite thing to do when you're talking to someone about something real, something that matters, something to do with the way they're living their life or the way they're approaching a meaningful situation, or at least a meaningful situation to them. Something that they believe has meaning. And then you kind of just listen long enough to go, wow, you're missing a couple of pieces here. And if you could have a conversation, the reason I go back to the question, I was like, can you have a conversation with a white supremacist without them pulling a fucking gun on you? I'm sure there are people out there. But it would be fascinating to me to listen to someone's story that led them to this horrible outcome of how they're living their life, and then be able to get enough information to feed it back to them in a different way and make them think about what they're doing differently and create actual change. That goes back to that thing that we were talking about with gun control and the horrible tragic shooting in El Paso. And we were talking about the fact that you talk, but nothing changes. Mm-hmm. But the only change that I've ever seen is on a one-on-one level, which is the reason I get off on it so much. Having a conversation with a person who's intelligent enough to handle the other side of the conversation, listen and feel heard, you can actually change their way of thinking just enough that they'll approach things differently, and then that can be an actual form of change. Change on a grand scale, trying to tackle a Goliath or climb an Everest, that's pretty big. But if you just manage to take a couple of steps in the right direction to change someone else's way of thinking, or at least reinforce their way of thinking. A lot of people take what I say a little bit more seriously because I'm a singer with hit songs and XYZ. So when I tell them, like, hey, man, you're really doing great stuff. You're on the right path. It sounds like that's really great. You should, you know, I really hope you do all the best. That gives someone more confidence if they hear it from me versus, you know, their next door neighbor or whatever, just because they've seen me on YouTube and heard me on the radio. So that can just be enough. But that type of that level of listening and having a conversation that can create change, that's the only experience that I've had where you can actually see real change. You can actually see it in real time right in front of you. When a person shifts their eyes and their tone of their voice and their how quickly they snap back and you realize, oh, I got you. I'm making you think now. Mm-hmm. But you have to put time in. When was the last time you had a 3-hour conversation with a stranger? Most people won't do it. You got shit to do. Or you're bored. You don't want to fucking talk to this person.
Well, and in general, how are people going to spark up that conversation with a stranger? I think that's a lot of difficulty that people have in regards to finding people who may think a different way than they do. But I think one of the bigger points of coming out of what you're saying that's beneficial to everybody is, let what they're saying guide your questions, because then it proves that you're listening. And I think that when it comes to a lot of these bigger debates and a lot of these things where people have really dug their heels in and my side is the right side and my point is the correct point, is they just want to yell what they think. And they want to yell like, well, these are the facts here and this is where you need to shut up. And both sides do that. Whereas if they were able to come together and say, okay, present to me your aspect of things and then guide it that way, you would be more likely to meet in the middle. Because I guarantee you, we'll take the gun issue as kind of an example here. I guarantee if you're going to ask somebody who's pro-gun and anti-gun, neither one of them is going to say that mass shootings are a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're going to be able to start in that middle ground there of, this is something that we have a problem with that needs to be solved. Now, let's talk in a manner where we're not talking at each other. That's something that irritates the hell out of me, is when it's, I'm going to be talking at you. I am going to basically say my point, and I don't want you to respond at all, because whatever you say is going to be wrong.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of this stuff, it just starts to spin the wheels, and then we end up back where we are. I mean, hell, it was right after El Paso, Dayton, Ohio happened. I mean, that was less than 24 hours that those two shootings had occurred. And the fact that it can happen with that much regularity and that people are so adamant, I'm right, I am the one who knows what I'm talking about, that's where we fail. That's where we constantly stumble, because we have this inability to open our minds to what another person might have to say. Just because you're open to what they're having to say doesn't mean you have to change your side. Doesn't mean you have to change what you think or believe, but open your fucking mind to something that they might have to say that can help you come to a solution for everybody, not just your side. Because when it comes to them, it's, well, the solution is this. I know this. The solution is right here, and I am the one telling it. What you're saying is incorrect. And that's where it all goes off the rails, because nobody has the right answer. There's not one person out there who can sit there and tell you this is exactly what the solution to this problem is. It takes a group effort and everybody coming to the middle. And unfortunately, we are so divided right now along party lines and along all these different issues that it becomes a problem. I had a friend of mine. He posted on social media this past week about how he's ranting and raving about, you know, the other side, and all you're doing is causing a bigger divide, and now you're going to do this. And he's just like screaming and yelling about it on social media. And it's like, are you dividing with this post, or are you inclusive with this post? Like, what are you doing here? Like, are you adding to the problem, or are you part of the solution? Where it's like, yeah, it's easy for you to sit there and yell about that stuff, and it might make you feel good because then you're getting your point across, but it's not including anything. It's being divisive. It's actually what you are doing and what you're yelling about are the same thing.
It's the thing I find funny. I just don't get it. But I don't understand how people attain satisfaction by speaking when they're not being heard. If you talk and the other person is just disagreeing with you, and so now you're going, oh, well, I'm right and you're wrong, then you're not having a conversation and you're not really being heard. What's the point in saying anything if you're not being heard?
Yeah.
Or you do get a bunch of people who say, I agree with that, I was thinking the same thing. My thought would be, so I didn't really need to say anything. So what's the point of speaking?
Yeah, you already thought what I said.
Yeah, so why do I need what is the point of speaking and saying anything if it's not going to achieve something, like something that wasn't there before? The reason that I wanted to do this podcast with you is because we come from two different lines of work, but we have commonalities and common interests. We come from two different countries, but we think and feel the same way about a lot of things fundamentally, but we have very different perspectives. If I was doing a podcast with another Aussie white singer-songwriter, it'd be just boring. He'd probably agree with me about most of the stuff and be like, yeah, I remember that song or whatever. You know, we've talked about most everything we talk about has got to do with the fact that I didn't know half the shit you're saying and you didn't know a bunch of the stuff that I was saying, and we talk about it and meet in the middle because luckily we enjoy those types of conversations. But it just doesn't, I just don't understand. Like, when I hear someone, I've had times at parties when you hear someone and they do or say something where you find out, oh, I could literally walk off and you'd keep talking to these other couple of people in the circle and you wouldn't even notice that I'm gone because you're not trying to speak to me. You're just fucking talking.
Yep.
And I'll leave. I'll just turn around. My favorite one is there was this guy, he was talking about something to do with politics, American politics. It was 6 months ago. There's two other people there. And he starts talking about, well, you know, Trump's got one valid point on this, but, you know, I don't agree with this and that, and I think this and I think that. And I was like, I think I saw this on the news yesterday. That's exactly what someone else just said on the whatever. And I realize he's just talking. And I had my drink and I just said, would you hold this for me? And he was like, yeah. And then he kept talking about, I believe this and I think that. Now he's holding my drink and I walked off. And I left him there for 20 minutes. And I came back and he's still holding my drink. And I was like, and then I stood there and waited until he realized that I had come back into the conversation so that he could go, oh, hey, here's your drink. Not, where did you go? I've been holding this for 20 minutes. what the hell's going on? He just kept holding the drink until after about 5 minutes, I was like, oh, thanks. And then I pulled my drink out of his hand, and then he just let it go. Like, he forgot. I'm like, how are you that fucking inept? How are you that not aware of the situation you're surrounded? You just want to talk. You just want to spit what you think. It doesn't matter if anyone's even listening. I don't understand why you would speak to someone who's not listening. Because if they're not listening, they don't care. And if they don't care, what's the point? I don't understand it. It's ego. It's ego and insecurity.
Yeah, there's people out there that just want to hear themselves talk. I mean, that's it.
Maybe I'm lucky that I've been fortunate enough that I wrote some songs that a lot of people have heard. So as a result, I feel heard. And I've had a lot of people come back to me and say, hey, I heard what you said in that song. I really liked it. It helped me get through this thing in high school, or it made me change my job or whatever. So I feel like I've been heard. So I don't need to just talk to be heard. As a result, I really don't. The only time I talk this much is when we do the podcast. If anyone knew me personally, I don't really speak that much. I really don't. Like, I just realized it now, but I'm like, I spend a lot of time with my mouth shut listening or not being involved in conversations until a relevant one comes up where I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this for work or because it's a real conversation or it's someone that I care about. But the rest of the time, I don't waste the energy, dude. I just don't waste it. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get any. I feel like I've lost time. I feel like I've lost an opportunity that I could have done something, even if it was coming up with a new song idea. I'm like, I lost 20 minutes. What could I have done with that 20 minutes instead of listening to this person just talk for no reason? I shut it out, man.
You could have done something more constructive with your time.
Yeah.
On that note,
Oh, are we done already? Shit.
What? Yeah, dude, we're already up on time here, man.
All right, so much for the lighthearted podcast.
Well, so the interesting thing was, the whole goal here is that we were recording more than one episode in a day, and we were going to get to some more lighthearted stuff. We still have the correction that we need to get to about the M&M's. So on that note, his name is Shim. He's the rock star.
His name is Brandon. He's the DJ.
Class dismissed.